the nation of Israel's captive, right? They put the temple together under Zerubbabel and Ezra. Then Nehemiah comes in, they build the wall. So they got the temple in place. That's the place of worship. And then there's walls up, protection. So I just want you to know, you and me, if you meet Jesus Christ today, he becomes your Savior. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You become Holy Spirit. You're not coming like, this ain't the place where God lives. No, this is the old community building. We got it and turned it into church. We can have church anywhere. That's why we go out into the street when the weather's nice. Right? Because church is not the building. It's here. This is where he dwells. So the temple's in place. And then we see that we need to learn the Bible and put the proper gates in place, because you can't let things come in and out. They had to put guards at the gates, and that's what happens. People allow, it's like the Santa Claus thing and all that type of stuff. You should know as a grown person, where did that start? Why do we teach that? Is that healthy? Is that causing damage? You should know that stuff and then live in that spot. And it don't mean it's your job and your sole purpose. And I do. I've twice. I know of pastors, and one was in big church, a church that had over 1,000 people. He stood up there and just blurted out all of, you know, all the false, you know, like every cartoon character on the planet that's not real and made up, every holiday and every Frosty the Snowman and Santa Claus. And you know, parents are just like, oh my gosh, what in the world? Is that my phone went off?
No.
That's not my job, is to preach the truth. You know, that's what we want to do here. And so we need to make sure that we have the proper walls around us and protection, that we don't let stupid philosophies. A song that comes and people are like, that song's good, isn't it? I listen to the lyrics and I'm like, bad song. Good music, bad song. Them lyrics go against the Bible. You know what? I'm not doing it. We're not going to sing that song here in this house, you know. A good example of just having the walls up, the convictions in our life. So they're rolling. I want you to know the nation of Israel is now really rolling. So all of these people, he lists all the people by genealogy. There was some that he couldn't list. They weren't on the list. And some got removed from the priesthood. I mean, they're just getting things square and straight. And then we get to Nehemiah chapter 8. Now remember, we just built some walls. Now we're going to build some people. And so listen, church, we built, man, we got this building. We had a leaky roof, didn't we? Man, a year and a half ago, we got our new roof put on, so now our building don't leak. Guess what? That's the easy stuff of church. Guys, our carpet's getting all stained up and ripped. We're going to have to replace it one day. That's easy. Or we can, if it stinks too bad, we can rip it up and just live with the concrete floor. Our children do. Can we do that? It's not like we're sitting in here watching football afternoon, right? We're just coming in here. We're here for the word, right? And so they got... the walls are built, and now he says, okay, now we need to build people. And he says over in chapter 8, he just said, the big problem we have here is our people are few, because they're still under Persian domination, and our buildings are not built. I always say it's evangelism and discipleship. Evangelism and discipleship. It's the two keys of the church. Leading people to Christ and then seeing them grow in their faith. Getting them in the word. Teaching them proper doctrine. That's the reproduction, so that they can reproduce. That's the whole point, right? And so he says that in Nehemiah chapter 8 and not, or 7. And now we get to chapter 8 and watch what he says. After listing all these people, he says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, opened the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. I think I'll finish it there, because we're not going to get much further than that. So Jesus, I pray, Nehemiah chapter 8, the few minutes we have left, Lord and Holy Spirit, open our understanding, teach us. Lord, convict men and women, convict me where I need to be convicted. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. We're vulnerable, we're open, please speak truth into us. So in your name we pray, amen. All right, Nehemiah 8:1, he says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. I'm going to give you a list of things, and I'm going to start all of them with the letter C. So in Nehemiah 8:1, the first thing, if we're going to be God's people, we're going to, because we're few and buildings are not, the houses are not being built, we're going to be after it. So we gather all the people together. So the first thing I want you to mark down is the word commitment. They gathered themselves together. They were a committed group of people. You know, they gathered themselves together as one man. Guys, this is the power of the team. This is, we would call it like in the New Testament, this is unity. They all gathered together in the street. This is very important. They just did a count of the people that went over, and now he says, okay, everybody that's part of this, we're going to gather together. And they pulled together and they gathered because everybody was numbered, right? And so this is, it showed who was committed. I love Ephesians 4:3. I've been quoting this the last probably month a lot. It says that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. There's a fight worth fighting, and that fight's called unity. That's why it always hurts when people leave. Guys, it hurts when people leave and we're like, eh, they probably needed to leave. That wasn't good. Or even if somebody wasn't doing right, it hurts, don't it? It sure does hurt. But here, you know what they're doing? They're like, hey, we cut our losses. Let's see who is committed. So, and notice, as one man, they did it before the Watergate. I really like that spot, too. They did it before the Watergate, which would tell me this. They were not only committed, they knew the power of the core. That's your second C word, core, right? They did it before the Watergate. Guys, you know, water, the majority of the planet is water. The majority of our body is water. We know that water is represented in Scripture. Scripture is represented as water, right? Water. The washing of the water of the word, the Bible says in Ephesians. God says in Deuteronomy, my doctrine shall drop as rain. It's what nourishes. It is the life flow. It is the Bible. That's why when they gathered themselves as one man, unified together, that kind of commitment. But what's the core? What's the core reason for the gathering? Truth. They did it before the Watergate. You know, that's what the word core means. It's the central part. Like everybody says, you know, when you're working out, work that core, man. Work that core, right? All the, get them glutes, get in there, you know. You ain't squat if you ain't squatting, you know. Everybody work that core. It's the most important part. Guys, by the way, think of a piece of fruit. You know the most important part of a piece of fruit? The core. I'm not saying it's the best part to eat. It usually gets a little harder. That's where the seeds are. That's where the reproduction is. So when we see a group of committed people, they did it before the Watergate. Guys, everything we should do as a church, you know what it should be? Based upon our mission, the place where the water flows, right? Hey, what about Psalms chapter 1? Don't you like it? Where he says that righteous people should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We are a people. We gather like the nation of Israel did here. But we gather for the core purpose, right? The core purpose of what? Where the water flows. Right? I like this too. You remember, there's all kinds of examples in Scripture on this. What about the pool of Bethesda? You go to the book of John. In John chapter 5, what did it say? When the water stirs, you got in. The first person in gets healed. Where the water stirs. So guess what? You need healing in your life? Get near the water. Right? So like, hey, they're committed, right? We're so committed, but we're going to commit ourselves at the Watergate. This is where we go. Everything we do, we're a biblical church. We're going to do what the Bible says. Who cares what every people do? What everybody else says? Who cares about the fables they want to talk about and make up? It's irrelevant. We need to be near the water source, before the Watergate, right? Where the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the water. So I want the Spirit of God to move in my life. Get in the Bible. Find yourself at church. Get yourself a group of people to flesh this this stuff out, right? So we see that they gathered themselves together, but it says before the Watergate. That's what they did it. They gathered as one man before the Watergate. And it says, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded to Israel. Ready for the third C word? Custodian. Custodian. Yeah. Notice they spoke to Ezra the scribe or Ezra the priest. So, committed group of people, the core is the Word of God. We need leadership. The custodian here was Ezra. You know what a custodian is? Somebody just says, oh, he sweeps floors. Well, some custodians, that's all they do. But I'll tell you what a lot of times people do. Years ago, you know, the custodian, you know, he kept the building warm. Before anybody got there, the sidewalks were cleaned off if it was snowing. If anything broke down, a teacher, a whiteboard, he's fixing that. Oh, some kid gets sick. So he plays the mother, and he goes in and picks up puke, you know. You know, basically, a custodian, we look at that sometimes. It's kind of like anybody that's a good CEO of a company. Usually they're just like, who's your favorite person in the company? Usually they'll say, my administrative assistant. They change that name because secretary, people started looking down upon them. Like, oh, you're just a secretary? The boss would come and say, just a secretary. We had to go to our investor the other day, Vivek, and he's like, well, we could do it this way. We're like, really? And he's like, honestly, I don't know how to do that. He goes, but she does. It was the assistant out front. I was like, you know, it's like the assistant principal of a school. What do? Everything. You know, they do a lot of the discipline and a lot of the hard issues, you know, because that's how it works, you know. You got different roles there. So I just like how, as we look here in Nehemiah 8, just verses 1 through 3, there's a committed group, but we're committed around a core, and then we need a custodian. Who's going to be the keeper of the word, man? That's what they were saying. That's what they said. What did they say to him? Bring the book. That's what they said. So let's make sure, who's the custodians in here? Who's the leaders? The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Who's the stewards of the mysteries in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? We need these people. We need you. I like in 1 Timothy 5, it says, let the elders be counted worthy of double honor, especially those that labor in what? Word and doctrine. Especially when you got somebody that's walked the years and they're a custodian of the book, man, of the truth. And I don't care how many degrees you got behind your name. If you don't got this down, you don't got nothing. This is the book of wisdom. This is the book of knowledge, right? So guys, they were committed around the core, the word of God, right? Before the Watergate there, that was their core. And then they called the custodian. They called the guardian. Who's maintaining this thing? Yeah, that's right. They went to Ezra, the scribe. And what did they say to Ezra? Bring the book. So here's your C words. They're committed, the core, custodian. The fourth one is, what's the call? What's the call? The call is, bring the book. Bring the book. Bring the Bible. What does the Bible say? By a pastor in Kansas City years ago when he lived in El Salvador. It was such a Catholic culture, and people were so far removed from the Bible. It's weird thinking you're talking about churches, but they're far removed from the Bible, but they're all over the place. And so they started saying, well, what's the Bible say? People would ask questions. They're like, well, no, our church does this. And he's like, I don't care what your church does. What's the Bible say? That became the name of their church. What does the Bible say? Hundreds of people. What's the Bible say? And by the way, other men that I know that have been influenced by this pastor, there's a group in Kansas City and since, of course, come from El Salvador, and these same guys actually speak Spanish. They use that phrase a lot now. I love it. I love when I hear them just say, hey, are you coming to what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? It's a good word. What's the call? Hey, bring the book. Hey, you having trouble in your marriage? You know what the call is? Call the counselor? Yeah, this one. What's the Bible say here? What's the Bible say? Hey, sweetie, what's the Bible say? Hey, honey, what's the Bible say? That's the call. That's our call. We're committed around a core. And so with the custodian, when they're calling out to the custodian, they're saying, bring the book, man. This week in our church reading in 2 Timothy 4, it says, you know, Paul's like, man, people forsook me, man. They did me wrong. But the Lord stood with me. And you know what? It says, the Lord stood with me that by me the preaching may be fully known. Sometimes I got so wrapped up into people, God had to take the people away. Mm-hmm. So I realized that my job is to publish the word. Amen. You get in church and social, right? We're all friends and we're family and let's eat together. And you become such a club that on the outside people are dying and they're lonely and they're lost and they're abandoned. And we got the good news of the gospel. I'll tell you what the call is. Church, we've lost a lot of people in the last couple of years. A lot of churches have. It's the cycle of growth. I'm not saying we're all bad and all evil, but there is some of that too. You know what the call is? You know what the call should be for you to me? You should not look at this custodian and just say, hey, you know, we need people. Why do you keep losing people? What you should be saying to me is, hey, Mike, bring the book, man. Bring the book. That's what we need. Your call should be, we need to know what the Bible says. You know, even these hard decisions. Remember King Solomon in 1 Kings 3? Do you guys remember the story about the two prostitutes in the Bible? Sorry, we don't have time to read the story. I'm going to tell it to you. Two prostitutes, they both have a baby, like the same time. In the middle of the night, one of these large ladies rolls over. Why did I have to say she was large? I just assumed she is. She rolled over and suffocated her kid. One of the babies died. She got up in the middle of the night, she took her dead kid, put it with the lady, and she grabbed the live one and put it with her. In the morning, they were both alive. They woke up and she goes, "This ain't my kid. That's my baby. I know my baby." She goes, "That ain't your baby." So they started having a fight and they went to the king. You know what the king said? King hasn't looked close. He hasn't even held any of these babies. Most people would say, "Who cares? You know, they're prostitutes." You know what he did instead? He said this. The call was, "Hey, bring the book." He said, "Bring me a sword," which represents the Bible. He brings the sword out and he goes, "Okay, lay this live baby down because I'm just going to cut it in half and give it a little half to both of you. How's that?" And one lady said, "Please don't touch the kid. Just give it to her." He's like, "She's the mom. See what the sword does? It provides the answers. It provides the truth." So guys, a committed group of people, the core is by the water gate. So the custodian of the word, leadership, people that are going to stand on the word, we should hear the fourth thing, the call. The call is going to be this: bring the book. What's the Bible say? That's the call. Remember that. The call of the church, the call of us committed people should always be, what's the Bible say? And after call, I would write another C word down. It's going to be the commandments. Did you notice? Look at verse 2. When they said, "Bring the law which the Lord had," it's still verse 1, "commanded to Moses." The commandments, that's what he did. And he had the commandments to Moses there. So when it says, "Bring the book," and it says he brought the law, that law did contain commandments. So guys, listen, the C word is commandments. But you know what's awesome about a commandment? It's not a suggestion. God's not suggesting anything. He's saying, "This is what the book says. You don't have to do it. But this is what it says, and you'll pay a great price." So I like when it says, "And he brought the law." Of course, that's a lot of what they had back then. So they bring it. But just remember this. Sometimes you want to read the Bible in the morning with a cup of coffee and a donut in your hand, just because you and Jesus had this sweet relationship. And it's like you and Jesus are boyfriend and girlfriend. One day you'll be husband and wife at the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? So you're just going to sit down and enjoy each other's company. And it's just going to be such a good... "God's so sweet to me." That attitude, I get it. There's something relationally that's good about it. What's bad about it is, don't ever forget, there's times you're going to open this book and he's going to say, "This is a commandment." And you start realizing, "Oh, I was so sweet on Jesus that I forgot he was the boss. He's the owner of my life. His job is to get glory on the planet." And it don't mean that's always going to come just having a biscotti in my hand and fresh flowers on the table. Right? So when he says, "Hey, bring the book," he's like, "Okay." He brought the commandments. "Hey, bring the book, man. We like to hear the book," right? Because God is love, right? And then somebody lays down the book. This is serious. Did you know there's some commandments in the New Testament, like Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where he commands the church. He's getting ready to leave, and you know, he commands the church. He says, "Hey, this message is supposed to be taken to all the world. That's your job. Take this message to all the world. Whatsoever I've commanded you, you teach them." It's our job to multiply. Question for you. Look back in the last, just let's go 12 months. Who is walking with Jesus because of you? It's commanded that you multiply. Based upon the real core, if your core is really the word, the water gate there, the core, there's seeds there. Them seeds are for reproduction. They're for planting. And don't just look at your kids. That's a little bit of a default, but it includes your kids. I don't know. That's hardcore. What about, you go to Acts chapter 1:8, and he says, here's what's going to happen. If the Holy Spirit comes to you, you know how you're going to know? The Holy Spirit's going to come into you. You know what churches say? Because then you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you do things like, woo, 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 woo. You roll on the ground, woo, 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 woo. You know, you're filled with the Spirit. That, you know the problem with that? When somebody brought me the book and I looked at the commandments, I couldn't find that. You know what that tells me? Somebody sold you a fable. That's not true. He says, you'll know when the Spirit of God comes and you're walking in the Spirit, because you shall be witnesses. You'll shine that light everywhere. That's what it says. So there's people that want to roll over, they want to sing, they want to speak in tongues, they want to dance. They want to do all those type of things. And they say they're filled with the Spirit. And yet nobody in their life is following Jesus because of them. And some of their own kids don't even follow Jesus. You know what that tells me? Lie. That's a lie. Don't believe it at all. It's not true. So I like when they bring the book, when they brought the law. So guys, just remember that. As we come and we're going to bring the book as a church, it's not always you're going to come and feel always good. We're going to hear some commandments from God saying, as a church, you're supposed to be shining the light. When you're not shining, you're supposed to be reproducing. When that ain't happening, we need to change. We need to take that out. We need to quit spending money on that. It ain't doing any good. It ain't going to. So committed, the core, the custodian would be the leadership, right? And a call. I'm going to wrap it up. You ready? Commandments. And then look at it says in verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the what? Congregation of men and women and all that could hear with understanding. So that would tell me little kids probably weren't involved in the process, but those old enough to hear and understand. So I want you to know the next C word I'd write down is the congregation. You know what the congregation was? All of them. Men, women, people that were able to understand, right? So I guess I would love to preach for an hour just on the roles that we have as men and women. You're valuable. Remember that. You are valuable to the cause here. Are you a student in high school? You're valuable to the cause here. Oh, you're in junior. Oh, you're in college. You're valuable to the church. That's it. We like to separate that stuff out sometimes. You know what we really need? We just need a women's ministry. You know how that is. Have you ever heard of a bunch of women in one office? Anybody that ever works there go, man, it's like a bunch of vultures pecking at each other all the time. It balances out, don't you? You get a bunch of office with a bunch of men in it. Guess what it is? Competitive. Everything's a challenge, a hardcore. It's nice, you know what happens when you bring us together? God did it on purpose, didn't he? Because we make a better team. So as a church, just remember that. I don't know what your role is, what your gifts are, but ladies, gentlemen, young people, we need you. You're part of the congregation. As the law's being brought out, bringing the book, brought the law, both men and women gathered together. And it says in verse 2, it says, and all that could hear with understanding. So just to let you know that would be another C word I'd put. Comprehension, man. If you got to come and comprehend what's being taught. If it's a commandment, I hope you want to comprehend it because we got to obey it. We got to do it here with understanding. By the way, that's why we do discipleship. If you're a young guy, young girl in here and say, I don't really know the Bible, let's partner you with an older person that knows it. It's called discipleship. That's what we do. Maybe I should say it this way, church. That's where we've strayed a little bit. We've gotten away from that. And blame it on the pandemic if you want to. It's not the pandemic's fault. The pandemic don't have any feelings or nothing all about it. It never made any decisions. I did. You did. Ready for the next one? Comprehension's on there. Look at verse 2. It says, and all that could hear with understanding upon the what? The first day of the seventh month. They knew exactly when it was. So guess what? Here's a C word for you. If we really value the book and the Bible, the reading of the word, guess what we're going to do? It's going to be on your calendar. Man, we don't got a few days left. Some of you read the Bible every day this year. Oh, you missed a day, and then you caught it up, right? That's awesome, isn't it? We've got a chunk of people, man, that are reading the word, and we're reading in the same place. I love when we can get together and say, man, did you like that story about Zerubbabel? That was amazing, wasn't it? I'm like, yeah, we're fellowshiping. So, hey, I just wanted to say, get it on your calendar this year. That's what we're going to do. So commitment, core, custodian, call, the commandments, the congregation, the comprehension. Our calendars have got to have an appointment with God and write it in. When somebody says, hey, man, are you available Wednesday morning? Man, I'm wide open. Well, sorry, no, I'm not. I have one appointment. I forgot about it. Yeah, we're going to get it in your calendar. So when you look on, it's on there. It's every day, the first thing on my calendar. Because I got it blocked off. And some people are like, well, I'm not awake in the morning. Well, that's fine. If I don't do that, then I won't work out. I work out first. Okay. I mean, as long as you're getting the word, that's the priority to it. But I put it on my calendar, and I want it to be first. First day of the seventh month. The next thing is, it says he read in verse 3. He read therein. That's right down word communication. He read so that they could comprehend, right? That felt good. That's the part that you don't want to go on the internet. Like, you don't want people like, what was that? The pastor's got COVID. It's not COVID. It's Corona. We got away from that word, didn't we? I kind of liked it better. The day the coronavirus came out, I went and I pulled up in my truck. Beside my truck was an empty Corona bottle. I'm not lying. Bo knows. I kept it in my office for a while. I was just like, man, this is crazy, you know? Got a little Corona in my office now. And that's not funny, is it? Communication, and let's wrap it up. The next thing it says in verse 3, they did this and they understood it, and the ears of all the people were attentive into the book of the law. So what's it say? Verse 3, they read that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. What do you think of that? That's a long time to read. Morning till midday. Guess what that is? Continuation. Their reading just wasn't 10 minutes a day. It was they meditated all day long. Guess what we're going to do as a church? You ready for this? Should I let it out or should I wait till this week? You get your announcements on that. You want it now or do you want it later?
No.
Okay, I'll give it to you later. It's, no, we're going to enter 2022. We're going to enter reading the book. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to read it around the clock. I think we might just go to the New Testament. You know, you can read the whole New Testament in about 20 hours. Get ready because there's going to be a sign-up sheet. From up here, we're going to have a chair. We're going to have this pulpit. We're going to have a light. We're going to read it 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4. We're going to usher. And by the time we get to December 31st and it's getting ready to hit the midnight hour, we're going to read Revelation, the very last chapter of the New Testament. That's it. We're going to usher into New Year. And you know why I'm doing that? Because God has us in Nehemiah 8, and I can't even think of any other reason why than just to say, we got to get back to the book. You got to get back to the Bible. And so we're going to do that. Get ready for it. There'll be a sign-up sheet. We'll all have to sign up. So somebody's going to tough it up and read at 2:30 in the morning. And you got to come in sober, by the way. I know some of you 2:30 people. So continuation, then it says at the end, and I'm done here, guys. It says, and they were attentive unto the book of the law, right? The ears of the people were attentive. That word, they were attentive. I think mean another C word, there was some concentration going on. When somebody's reading from morning to night, you have to really pay attention. You know how it is going to a lecture at school, don't you? Most of them are. They're hard to listen to because it's boring. But these guys were concentrating. This was God's word, man. And they were on it. The ears of the people, right? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody has the ears. Well, pay attention. Some people ain't getting it. So here's the message for today. Read the word. They gathered all these people together and says, get in the Bible, man. That's the power here, right? So there was a group of committed people. The core was the Watergate. There was a custodian. People that, hey, add the book. Bring the book. You're in charge of that. Yeah, you're the keeper, the guardian, the church. Call. Bring the book. Commandment. They brought the law. The congregation, both of men and women, anybody could understand. They were hearing with understanding. There was a C word called comprehension. The first day of the seventh month, it was on their calendar. There was communication going on. He was reading, and they were getting it. There was a continuation going on, because it was from morning till midday. And then there was obviously some concentration, because it says it was in the ears of the people that long of a time, and they were getting it. They were paying attention to it. So there's a whole bunch of C words for you. The whole point is this. Read the word. We're getting back to the book as a church. That's what we're doing. We're going back. Here we are at the Watergate. So get ready for it. Hey, it's Christmas time. Give the good news out. Jesus Christ is the reason for the season, not Santa Claus. What a jolly old saint he was, though. Right? What a jolly soul. No, that was snow. Frosted snow now. Sorry. Corn pot pipe, button nose, eyes made out of coal. That was frosted. So, you ready? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this group of people that we could congregate together, man, around the Watergate today and hear from your word. God, I pray that we would read your word, that we would end this year on a bang, going into next year, refusing to allow your commandments to go by anymore. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all these great people, Lord, today. I hope... Lord, our goal today was to lift you up and exalt you. So, Jesus, we love you so much. Thankful for all of our teachers next door and all of our children that are getting the word too. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.